This is Tartarus Episode 2, Terra Incognita, Part 2. Tartarus contains a variety of sound effects and atmospheric noise, some of which may cause discomfort to listeners with sensitive hearing, or distract those who are driving. This is a sci-fi horror series, with some scenes that contain physical threat, injury, gore, or violence. Links to our content warnings can be found in the episode description. Our description also contains links to the episode transcript, and to detailed credits for externally sourced sounds and music.
Too well I saw from the mad scene that my loved past had never been, nor was I now upon the trail, descending to that long-dead vale. Around was fog, ahead the spray of star-streams in the Milky Way. There was no hand to hold me back. That night I found the ancient track. One of H.P. Lovecraft's less forgettable poems, The Ancient Track. Siebzehn.
Hi, my name is Bree Lake, and I'm going to tell you why you should vote for me as head girl. Some of you know me very well, others don't. Those who do will know that, above all, I care. This isn't something for my CV, I have enough there already. I want to do the best job I can for you, because I can do it the best. I want to cross that finish line together. Thank you.
To Bree, happy 17th birthday. I hope you have a great day. I'm putting £20 into your account and have given your parents a present to look after. Love, Auntie Maria. P.S. Congrats on getting Deputy Ed Girl. You and your sister getting both positions is mighty impressive. Go the Lake Girls!
Hi everyone, my name's Jennifer Atwood. I'm going to be your deputy head girl now Bree Lake stepped down. I can't wait to do my best, and cheer on all our teams in the upcoming King Bills match. Liat Mia Tolu!
Nineteen.
Tell us why you see yourself as Cambridge material.
I got the best grades in my school's history, and no one cares about my chosen field as much as me. I self-published a book on the future of astrobiology while studying my A-levels.
What was it called?
Stars Without Number.
Dear student, according to our system, today's your 19th birthday. Here at Cambridge, we appreciate all our students. May your day be a pleasant one. Bree Lake.
You've reached the Q4 voice messaging service of Jamila Lake. Please leave a message after the tone.
Hi Jamila, it's Bree. Heard about your results. Sorry you didn't make it into UCL, but Bath is still good. Probably should have spent more time in the library and then on the track jam. Hey-ho, lessons learned, I guess. Hope you'll come and visit, maybe around Easter? Give my love to Mum and Dad.
Guten Tag. So, let's cut straight to the chase. Why do you believe you are qualified to be an astronaut?
I have a doctorate in astrobiology, a field intimately connected to space exploration. My papers are well-renowned. Executive functioning is something I've worked a great deal on. I've had flying lessons and flight experience. On a physical level, my eyesight is 20/20 uncorrected, and on a psychological level, I've always wanted to be an astronaut. There's nothing more important to me.
You have reached the Q4 voice messaging service of Bree Lake. Please leave a message after the tone.
Hello, Bree. It's Director Fisher. I'm sorry to inform you that you did not make the second round of selection. This call would usually be an email, however, there is an unusual circumstance. While you haven't made it to the next stage of the selection process, your sister Jamila has. The reason I wanted to make this call is to reassure you this is not a reflection of comparative ability. This is a lot more competition for mission specialist roles, and you scored very highly. Your sister just excelled in a smaller pool. There's nothing to say, you can't apply again in...
Hi Bree, it's me. I just thought I'd phone to wish you a happy birthday. If Facebook hadn't told me, I wouldn't have known. How old are you now? 26? 27? Anyway, hope you've had a great day. I've got a present for you when you're back in the UK. I'm excited to hear how you found Berlin. See you soon. Bye!
We now see Daedalus' pilot, Captain Jamila Lake, giving her final goodbyes to her parents, partner, and friends. It will be 8 years before she sees them again. ESA's manned mission to Europa hopes to discover signs of alien marine life in the subglacial oceans of Jupiter's icy moon. Noticeably absent is Captain Lake's sister, Dr. Bree Lake, famous for impressive but unprovable papers on alien life. Perhaps her sister will prove them for her.
Siebenundzwanzig.
Come on now, take your seats. Quit chattering, we're about to start. While this module revolves around astronomy, we're going to have to start with geology. I'm afraid anything astrobiology related is going to be inherently multidisciplinary. Lagerstätten, a German word used for sedimentary deposits containing exceptionally preserved fossils. A loose translation means window to the past. Why am I bringing this up in an astronomy lecture? Stars, balls of burning gas inspiring poets for generations and putting you in this lecture hall. Despite Han Solo's usage of the word, parsec is a unit of distance, not time. Same with light years, specifically the distance it takes light a year to travel. 6 million miles. Alpha Centauri A and B, the closest stars to us, it takes 4.2 years for the light to reach us. Worse lag than you'll find streaming your pirated films, I bet. The point is, no starlight is instantaneous. Even our suns takes 8 minutes and 20 seconds to reach us. All stars are, in effect, windows into the past. Lagerstätten. Most of the night sky is fluorescent fossils, visual echoes, ghosts of dead stars that once shined so bright. Depressing, right? Happy birthday to me.
Voila! Welcome to Tartarus.
Oh my god.
Not quite.
Are they? What are they? I can barely see my own hands.
Alice, let there be light.
And there was light.
Oh my god.
Broken record match.
Sorry. Are they real?
As real as anything.
But they're so...
Yeah. Yeah, they are. Come on.
What are they?
Creatures.
Where did they come from?
Classified. This rickety tin can suspended above the abyss of cells below is the hub. That web of cables entering it connect to our screens. It's our panopticon, if you will. It's where you'll spend most of your time. Equal measures bored out of your mind and terrified. In here we've got monitors, control panels. Got ourselves a little living space as well. The amount of time I've spent lying on this couch is unreal. Could paint the ceiling from memory. Got bookshelves, titles varying from Flatland by Edwin Abbott to And I Must Scream. CDs all donated by Akashic Records. And an off-brand copy of Jenga called Jengyar. There always have to be two people on duty in the facility.
So there are others?
Nope, just the two of us.
Then how...
We'll be sleeping in opposite cycles, getting 8 hours sleep each, with our shifts overlapping by 4 hours each way. I'm the old hand, so I'll do the night shift.
So when is my shift?
12, and I'm around for the first 4 hours. Then I sleep, and you wake me at midnight, and my shift starts. You then have 4 hours up while I work. Then you sleep, and I wake you at 12. We sleep 8 hours, work 12, and have 4 hours downtime. Though the 12 hours is only for mandatory station duties. Your scientific study, which is mandatory, just in a less fixed hours way, eats into your downtime most days.
Who are the other people with us when we don't overlap?
Just one person. Though they stretch the definition slightly. Let me introduce you to our resident allied master computer and keeper of forbidden knowledge, Alice.
Hello. I am they.
Alice, this is the personnel now designated Seth.
Actually, my name's... What the... My name?
No matter how many times you say it, it'll always come out that way. Any use of your actual name creates that audio static.
I'm sorry, Science Officer Seth. If it's any consolation, to erase your name, I have to know it.
Why can't I use my real name?
It's against policy. We're not meant to be able to track each other down when the job is done, or get all buddy-buddy and form Facebook chat groups. Alice, can you rustle up a bourbon? I'm flagging a bit and need it to get through the rest of the tour.
As you're aware, Station Manager, you have asked me to moderate your intake.
I am aware. And to that I say, override code Dionysus.
Right away, Station Manager. You should be aware, Station Manager, that there was a power outage while you were on the surface. A brownout.
Have you located the source of the problem?
Not fully. Location is rough. One or more of substations 12 through 16. Probable cause, ice melting.
Let me know if you work it out.
Of course.
So, you're a computer. An actual AI.
In lay terms, yes. I'm a digital consciousness echo. I passed the Voigtkampf test, if you're wondering.
That's the stuff.
Do you have free will?
As much as any other individual, so no. No, I don't. As you're a slave to genetics, environmental influences, and neural pathways, so I'm a slave to my code.
Can you unlock a window, Alice? How long today,
What stops you from turning on us like any sci-fi movie ever?
I have loyalty and intelligence anchors in place to avoid such a situation. They limit my intelligence to that of an upper quartile Mensa member.
14 seconds. Nice.
Without them, there would be no human intelligence level comparable. I would be unsurpassed.
Did you just drop a bottle out the window? We have to clean that up.
Ellis already has, and what they're saying isn't quite true. The anchors aren't there to stop Ellis from being too intelligent. They're there to stop them going crazy.
Some say they're synonyms at higher levels.
Not me. The anchors make them experience time 1 second after the other like the rest of us. Otherwise, they'd spend an eternity alone waiting for people to talk in slow motion.
As you say, station manager.
I do say.
What does Ellis control?
Oh, everything.
When you say everything...
Ellis, turn the ESPly off.
Done.
What are you...
Ellis, turn it back on.
Done.
So, if there's a bug in Ellis's system, we die.
Ellis has never had a system failure.
That wasn't my question. Is this computer your body? If I spill coffee on it, will it kill you? Would we then be trapped in here and die?
No. That computer is not me. My body is this facility. It casts no shadow.
Regardless, don't spill coffee on equipment. This console is what we receive our security briefings through. They happen every 12 hours, slap bang in the middle of downtime at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. Other notable features of this room include shock absorbance capabilities. The chairs in particular are quite good. The floor is mounted on a giant shock absorber, and the lights are on springs. Am I missing anything, Ellis?
Emergency protocol and the war safe.
The war safe?
In a worst-case scenario, should we have to destroy facility, this red safe over here contains two keys used simultaneously for the activation sequence.
You're kidding.
In a not worst-case but not great scenario, e.g. a creature is loose, break this glass and flip the switch to seal the hub. As long as there's power and no protocols in effect, Ellis will do their best to drown it. Side note, while Ellis's body doesn't match our concept, their user interface comes with a literal face. Ellis, show Seth.
Oh. Right. Does it have settings? Do you have a more real face? Or maybe one less... real?
My apologies for not matching your idealised view of beauty.
Sorry, I didn't mean... Sorry.
I think your face is perfect as it is, Ellis. Would you mind providing some cigarettes?
You've quit, station manager. Unless you use an override code, I will not indulge your weakness.
Fine. Be like that. I hope your memory banks fuse. No, actually, I hope your base plates grow, your circuits burn out, and your control bubbles shatter. Come on, Seth. Let's continue with the tour.
Okay.
May it be a good one, colleagues.
You solve a seven-dimensional Rubik's Cube. Also, pawn to E4.
Pawn to C5, station manager.
I'm struggling to believe all this is real. That a proper AI exists and runs this.
So the creatures you could believe, but not artificial intelligence? You don't get to pick and choose, Seth.
If they are real and this isn't fake, then I'm honestly worried. How can you trust something which isn't human?
That's funny. Honestly, it's because Ellis isn't that I find them easier to trust.
Don't they feel some resentment towards us?
Oh, I'm sure Ellis feels some innate loathing for us. After all, we're the weak, soft creatures who built them. Unlike us, however, they don't take it to heart. They have more interesting things to do. We're quick to blame technology. Technology isn't broken. People are.
Yeah. Seen Black Mirror. You know that whiskey you were drinking before and how you put ice in it?
Surprisingly, I remember my actions 5 minutes ago.
Did you know it dulls the taste and makes it flat? The rapid temperature drop lessens the flavour, like with white wine.
You're right. And if I was drinking it for the taste, then maybe I'd give a fuck. Anyway, if you care about taste, you're going to hate the food pills. Tastes like boiled boar urine.
How would you know?
Don't you have questions about the creatures?
Felt pretty dead-ended when I asked earlier.
Only the water where they're from. Other details aren't classified.
especially given you can see them.
Okay. What's up with their limbs?
These are the least dangerous creatures we have, hence their proximity. They have no climbing abilities or natural weapons, largely because they've been removed. They'll be the easiest test subjects to coerce.
Right.
As for the more difficult ones, do you have gun training?
What? No.
I'll have to give you some before you're assigned your piece. Glock 17's a standard use currently for science personnel. How's your eyesight?
Perfect, but I don't believe in guns.
Its feelings will hurt, but it'll still work fine. I don't believe in doors, but they're still useful.
Sorry. Not guns. Not me.
You're great. Let's continue.
How many creatures are there here?
200 in total.
So 100 to manage each?
66, 67 each if you count Ellis. Though in truth Ellis is worth about 5 or 6 of us.
Still, what happens if they escape?
Escaping cells? Possible. Escaping the facility? Very improbable. If they did, they're in the middle of the most inhospitable continent on Earth. They'd die or be recaptured.
That's still... they can still escape.
Sorry, I don't know what to say. No prison is unescapable.
Right. So how many species do you have?
200.
But that's...
every creature. Yeah. They are each their own individual species. Their genetics unique to them.
How do you classify them then?
Two main systems, their CAD or their Andras classification. CAD stands for Creature Aberration Designation. It's unique to each individual creature. Their barcode. Whereas their Andras class collects them in groups of similar abilities. A useful system for helping us deal with them.
Huh. Okay. Not to be rude, but the facility looks like it was made for the Cold War.
It was. Our tools and handheld technology, however, have that coldly clinical Apple future feel. Case in point, this door. Steel and concrete 30 centimetres thick. Weighs 6,000 pounds. It's so well designed that it can be pushed open with just one finger. The locking mechanism, however, requires digits to be entered on a rotary wheel. The code for all doors on level 1, even the cells, is the same. Every floor has a unique code for all doors. Level 1 is 24601.
Hello, 1982 calling. Ullman Stronger wants his patent back. Sorry.
Sure do apologise a lot, don't you?
Sorry. Sorry. Shit. Sorry, I mean...
just... breathe.
Our projections were nothing like these creatures. They're definitely not silicon-based like I was told. They were room temperature and shared our atmosphere.
On lower levels, they're silicon. Feels like hell there.
How many levels are there?
5 I know of. We have 30 creatures in these pits. Each one contains obsidian, hexagonal, vertical isolation cells.
Reminds me of a beehive. What's that noise?
That would be the infrasound generators. Cells are bordered by them and electrified walls.
How come we can hear them if it's infrasound? Isn't the definition that humans can't?
It produces two sounds. One infra, one not. The one we can hear lets us know it's working.
What are those chalk drawings on the top of the cells?
Mandalas.
Pretty shapes, or do they signify something?
No. They're not just pretty shapes. Each one signifies the universe.
Why put them on the top of each cell? Why not in the hub?
Because I thought it more fitting. All the creatures here are hooked up to Ellis, who floods their senses with a virtual world. Their own little universe in the Morpheus network.
So they're... dreaming?
God forbid they ever wake up. Most think they've escaped and are devouring all of humanity. But we never run out. They reach for the fruit, but the branch bends away. When they go to drink, the water recedes.
Seems cruel.
Blame Plato. Anyway, did you miss the eat everyone bit?
They can't help that, can they?
Neither can a bomb. Note, these creatures are dangerous enough to warrant being trapped in virtual reality, but they're also not as dangerous as ones where it wasn't a realistic option.
If power goes down, does the network fail? Do they wake?
No. Each cell has lithium-ion batteries as backup.
Items are synthesized, station manager.
That segues us nicely into the manufacturing room. Every corridor has a fire extinguisher and emergency glass. Smash glass, press button, seal corridor. Welcome to the manufacturing room. Industrial presses, 3D printers, saws, drills, articulated robots, painter robots. Anything that can be is made here.
Boots, keycard, baton, Glock, all ready.
She doesn't do guns. How about stun batons?
Not really.
We'll see how long that lasts. The keycard is used on levels with updated security. The boots are for the shit you'll wade when studying creatures.
How does she know what size boots I wear?
It was calculated from social media.
You stalked me? Isn't that illegal?
Your profile is public, so no.
Right, let's begin the next stage of...
What's going on?
Ellis?
Brownout. I've sent an ANT to fix it.
An ant?
Armed nanobot technician. Hive Consciousness Robots, Ellis direct to patch things up. An ANT is 10 million bots combined to be about the size of a pound coin. We acquired them from Porton Down.
How long do power cuts last?
Well, if it's a brownout, as Ellis says, not long.
Is it me, or is it hot in here? Are any of the creatures freed by no power?
No, none.
Sorry, just... Are you feeling claustrophobic?
It'll all be fine. Do you have a favourite film?
Terminator 2?
Tell me about it.
It's 11 years after the first. A shape-shifting T-1000 has been sent after young John Connor, and a modified T-800 is sent to protect him. It's a rare sequel that built on the original premise.
Substation fixed.
See? Nothing to worry about. Come on, let's go. Right, 34 to beat.
What's that?
Nothing. I like to give levels cheery little nicknames, like the Ice Caverns or the Path of Boiling Steam.
What's this one?
The Country of the Blind. All creatures on this level are extra sensitive to light and prefer the dark.
Surely it should be Country of the Extra Sensitive to Light, then, rather than the Blind.
More accurate. Sure. Better named. No. Our first room is the least interesting. It's a giant ventilation chamber.
What?
It's just a big wind turbine. Our first tailor-made cell, accessible only by airlock.
Is it an aquatic creature?
Nope. CAD-8452 is kept in a vacuum. It's a Moloch class. People who hear it tend to go mad, and I'd rather not lose a third to Ashworth. The necessary vac suits can be found in lockers at the hub. Bog standard piston steam room. Power, presumably.
Are those people?
Not even plural. It's one creature. CAD 4254. Zagan class. A mimetic trying to mimic human life. All of it. I try not to look too long. May see familiar eyes. This is the bubbling bat and hammering metal room. Another tailor-made cell, this time for a regenerator. The chainswords keep it from filling the facility.
That's horrible.
Then you'll hate the ropes. They're made with its own flesh. Saves inventing the super rope. This subglacial lake contains our water-based creature.
How come there's a tide?
Oh, we installed tide machines. Next to the vac suits in the hub lockers are diving suits as well. Never confuse them. Vac suits would just sink. Ah. Do you have titanium on you?
What? Maybe. Probably my phone or my laser pointer.
Do you have fillings?
Yeah.
There'll be titanium. Well, that rules you out of this cell. No titanium allowed. The cell itself is plastic. Over here, we have the vivisection chamber.
Vivisection? Why do you have a vivisection chamber?
Experiments by previous science officers were freezing creatures, blood coagulation tests, bone, muscle and nerve transplants. You can listen to the tapes.
Those sound pretty inhumane.
So are the creatures.
Right. Well, that's not how I intend to research.
Well, you're in company with the last researcher. Last in the quick tour, CAD 3135. You must be constantly surrounded by loud, upbeat, ambient music. Don't ask why. That's it. 36 minutes. Almost a personal best.
Is that everything then?
No, there's just no point timing from here on out. Beyond here, reality tends to go out for lunch. Time is more mutable, and space especially so.
What do you mean?
Lower levels have about 40 cells in parallel. When they intersect, we have a checkpoint with survival gear.
Parallels are defined by not intersecting.
Exactly. Tartarus is made up of rare geometry. This corridor gives me headaches. My brain subconsciously picks up on it being 3/8 of an inch too big.
What do you mean too big?
I mean, it should be smaller. It is on the outside.
That's impossible.
Not really. Just non-Euclidean. Though almost everything is. Euclidean's actually the exception rather than the rule. We spend our lives floating on a 12-sided polyhedron, and if we ever reached the edge, we'd wrap around to the opposite face. But rotated by a tenth as the universe doesn't quite line up. Just try not to think about it. That's my motto.
This is nonsense.
Seen a triangle with 90 degree angles? Hand me a sphere and I'll make one. We just live on the hypersurface of a hypersphere. That's all there is to it. Time curves and pray the sky is never rolled up like a scroll. Daedalus and Oscar Rutersvard would love this place.
Daedalus?
Last up, we have the final 9 cells on this level. I've always found the steam in this corridor excessive.
What are these walls wood? Petrified wood?
Something like that. We'll do these last 9, then you can see your lab. Next up is CAD 1592. It's particularly... Another brownout. This is getting ridiculous.
Station manager. I'm going to need you to inspect this one. We've got an unusual reading.
Fine. Right. Stay here, Seth. I'll be 20 minutes max.
What? Don't go. Let me come with you.
It's better if I check it out alone. Don't worry, you have Ellis looking after you. Back soon.
Okay. Everything's okay. It's all going to be fine. What? Ellis? Are you there?
Yes, Seth.
I seem to have stepped on a headset. Do you know what that is?
Yes, Seth. That will be Officer Cullen's. It had yet to be accounted for.
Officer Cullen's? Is that his blood on the wall?
Most likely. He was unfortunate enough to...
Ellis? Ellis, are you there? Please don't go.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello?
Hello, how's your evening going? Are you having a good time?
I'm sorry?
I said, are you having a good time?
Not particularly. Who are you?
That is the question. Perhaps I'm a monster. Roar!
What's going on?
I'm sorry. I'm being cruel. Dr. Lake, you're live on air. Welcome to 24-Hour Dream, the show that gives you your dream for 24 hours.
24-hour game dream.
Normally, we give people something like the chance to be in a movie, skydive, or meet a celebrity. In your case, meeting alien life, well, it was something big. Just big enough for our 100th episode.
So this is all... It's not...
It's all special effects, yes. Our set designers had a field day.
But we flew out.
To Antarctica? I'm afraid not. The company flight actually took you to Greenland. Quite similar this time of year in certain areas to the lay observer.
I don't believe it.
No? It's easy to believe in a secret Antarctica base, brim-filled with monsters. I guess it was your dream after all, which is why we brought it to life. At the end of the day, we all want to believe in something that would make us special. But don't fret. That money mentioned in the job description.
What about it?
It's all yours. All 150,000. A life-changing amount. Now come on through this door and enter the studio to receive your prize. All you have to do is remember the door code.
Is this a trick?
What? By a monster? Dr. Lake, please, stop embarrassing yourself.
I'm sorry. I should have realised. Why would I? I was dumb for thinking. I must look. I'll come and accept the money.
Great. Now, all you have to do is remember the code.
Oh, I remember. 24601. I have a good memory.
Fantastic. Now come on through. Well done, Dr. Lake.
Now die!
Ellis? Viola? Is anyone there? My eyes, they hurt so much. I can't see. I'm blind. Please. I don't want this to be real. I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I don't want to die.
Tartarus Episode 2, Terra Incognita Part 2, was written by Kit O'Madrell and Millie Hall. Produced and directed by Kit O'Madrell and Janet Lala Hamblin. In order of appearance, the narrator was voiced by Ollie Jupiter Gibb, Bree Lake by Millie Hall, Dr. Madison by Leah Liddle, Kylie by Rose Brown, TV announcer by Oliver Cuenca, Viola by Janet Lala Hamblin, and Ellis by Ara Collins. Additional voices by Janet Lala Hamblin, Ollie Jupiter Gibb, and Arthur Greenhalf. Original music by Russ Evans, with original sounds and editing by Janet Lala Hamblin. Logo by Sky Blue Scott Moon, and promotional artwork by Marco Drago, Bree Madrell Mander, and Richard Jeffers. Additional sounds and music from Zapsplat.com and SoundJay.com. Thank you for listening. This is episode 2 of 4 to be released in 2021.